You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Here we go. Third hour of Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We just finished an hour of radio with John Brakey, Bill Reisner, and former Secretary of State of Arizona, Ken Bennett, talking about the election audit. And so, of course, a lot of responses. My email, my text message, just blowing up on this. And there's just a lot of weird stuff. We'll do a little breakdown of that before it's all over. And then we could continue our thing about Tucson and things to do. But let's get to in his first year. He was a write-in candidate and won in the general election. And it's Jim O'Connor from the Arizona Corporation Commission. John, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, Chris. Good to be back on Wake Up Tucson, and happy to be visiting with you this morning to give everybody a look-see. Nowhere near as dramatic as what's been going on under Ken Bennett's watchful eye.
Correct.
At the Coliseum down in Maricopa County. But nonetheless, I'm here to give you a report on what's been cooking at the Corporation Commission. I know our chairwoman, Leah Marquez-Peterson, is from Tucson, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of listeners down there interested on how she's doing. She was elected chairman of the commission with two Democrat votes and her own over Justin Olson and I, fellow Republicans, with Leah. Back in January, on Inauguration Day, January 4th, she really received a temptation from the old Godfather movies. She couldn't turn it down. And I fully understand why she accepted the Democrat votes, and I'm happy to share that with your listeners. Essentially, when Commissioner Bob Burns was running the commission, and Leah had been an appointee in those days for a year and a half, and everything she came to Bob with to put on the agenda, he basically ignored her. So she understood that the power of the chairman was significant, and she didn't want to put herself in a vulnerable position like that again. So I was quite forgiving with her accepting the two Democrat votes to get the spot. And Leah is very, very gifted in the area of chairwoman. She is doing an outstanding job.
It's good to hear.
With great grace. She's treating Justin and I perfectly. And what she extends to those Democrat women on the commission, where I chairman, my prayer life isn't good enough to allow me to bestow grace on those women. They, one is particularly difficult to deal with. And the other, the newer one, is a delightful individual who I hold in high esteem. But a couple of things that are noteworthy, and then I'll get into the meat of two very important issues, but overarching, I brought my pastor down there on Inauguration Day to be sworn in and to bless me and my work and that of the entire commission. Well, Leah was sufficiently moved by that opening, which was powerful. She called me the next day and said she would like to start a new tradition at the commission, and that is we would open every public open meeting with 2 minutes of prayer led by the rotating commissioners. So she asked me if I would open January's meeting for them. I was happy to do that, privileged and honored to do that, and I did the last open meeting last week. And again, it rotates to each of the commissioners. So God is showing up down there. He's being acknowledged, being recognized. And that's a beautiful thing in all government. We really need that We need his hand, his watchful eye.
So, Jim, Let me ask you a question. Now that you know you're in the job, what are some of the parts of the job that are, you know, something you either didn't expect or maybe, you know, the intensity of certain things? What's a couple of things that you're learning now that you're in the job?
Well, patience is what I'm learning. And again, I credit Leah with much more than I have to let some of the commissioners go on to no end with just political rhetoric and nonsense. I mean, Commissioner Kennedy literally attacked Justin Olson, who is one of the most saintly public servants in the state in terms of lifestyle and behavior. And she attacked him and his day job. He's chief financial officer of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's operation. Well, Commissioner Kennedy accused him and them of being criminals and terrorists for the riots at the Capitol on January 6th. I mean, this is how preposterous it gets in that political space. So that's probably a surprise that someone would act so inappropriately. The second thing is we finished the Code of Ethics. In April of 2019, the first Code of Ethics was adopted. Ironically, this Code of Ethics is just for the five commissioners. It says a whole lot that commissioners need a Code of Ethics. Beyond that, Anna Tovar and Leah Marquez Peterson jointly introduced a Code of Conduct on top of the Code of Ethics. And Chris, if I remember, you grew up on the East Coast as a kid.
Yep.
I did. Grew up as a Catholic kid, and we studied a thing called the Baltimore Catechism.
I remember it.
Commissioner Marquez Peterson and Commissioner Tovar recreated the Baltimore Catechism in a 10-page code of conduct, also applicable only to the five commissioners, because they were trying to box in maybe a certain commissioner who just was rude. And I mean, she announced that she wasn't down there to make friends. And it's not about making friends. It's just about being able to communicate with people. But with this particular commissioner's approach, it's just despicable. So we're hoping to get her unelected in 2022. And we've got an amazing young man who was pivotal in my campaign and its success, Nick Myers. So if you haven't had him on, Chris, do get him. He's currently, since January, been working as a policy analyst, policy advisor for Commissioner Justin Olson. And it's Nick Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, from Pinal County. He was just bold and brave in his attack on old man Johnson in the Johnson Utilities fiasco up in Pinal. That's where in Santan Valley, they had raw sewage running in the streets, backing up toilet papers, toilet bowls in your homes. Just a despicable thing. That company was taken over last December by Epcor Water. So it's being run professionally now. But Nick Myers was a big reason for that as a neighbor and a resident, a ratepayer in Santan Valley.
Hey, Jim, can you hold on? Can you queue on for one more forward break? I want to just talk about what happened with this green energy discussion.
Be delighted to do that. Yes.
Awesome. All right. I appreciate it. We're talking to Jim O'Connor, Arizona Corporation Commission. If you have a question for Jim, 790-2040. You are on Wake Up Tucson tomorrow. Matt Neely and Dan Shearer. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christopher DeSimone and you, 790-2040. We're talking to Arizona Corporation Commissioner Jim O'Connor. Jim, before we get to the Greendale, I got a quick phone call we want to get to. Bill, you're on with Jim O'Connor. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for coming on. I just wanted to comment about Tucson Electric Power has a monopoly. And, you know, a utility that has a monopoly, in theory, should supply, you know, the most cost-effective power. DEP doesn't do that. And they've gotten so far in bed with this greeny stuff that's very, very expensive. And I'm an old business guy, so I keep track of things like that percentage-wise and stuff. So just to let you know, my last electric bill was 3% less than the year before on kilowatt usage. So naturally, you'd kind of expect at least maybe a small decrease in the price, or maybe just even. But no, my bill was up 5% on price. So you take the 5 and the 3, I'm looking at 8% increase. Now, that's just not called for. Do you have any comment on that? This is just out of control.
Well, this probably is a great segue, Bill, into the discussion that Chris has asked me to initiate about the Green New Deal piece, and you alluded to that in your lead up to your question. So here's what we did. Last week there was a vote on what Arizonans would know as the Green New Deal. Those were the energy rules that were passed just before Christmas Eve last year. December 23rd was the vote date, and it was 4-1 in favor of these draft rules. Thankfully, I was elected, and things changed quite a lot in the complexity of the commissioners. And then we had also the last 4 or 5 months of history, including that Texas freeze that cost everybody, came a big surprise, cost everybody a lot. A couple of energy companies in Texas went out of business. They were short billions of dollars on the freeze. So there were lessons learned, and we were able to make amendments. Every time we get rules or draft rules, they came forward. The political left, all of the energy companies, all of the stakeholder groups in mass were driving for one place. They wanted those draft rules passed as is without any modification whatsoever. That's their agenda. What that would have given them, as I understand it, APS supplied information to the commission and publicly that if the energy draft rules went through as is, as they were drafted, that all of their customers' power bills would be increased by $500 million a year. So we pushed back. Leah Marquez Peterson, Justin Olson, and myself pushed back against those rules by drafting amendments. I drafted with my team 4 amendments. Olson drafted 4 amendments. Leah Marquez Peterson, 2 amendments. So there were 10 amendments to change the original draft rules. We all believe they were reasonable. We argued for them, debated them. One of mine was accepted. The other 3 were denied. Justin Olson got 3 of his 4 passed, and 1 failed. But the ones that passed had some of the teeth taken out. And Leah Marquez Peterson had some excellent amendments that were both accepted.
So are we going to see some results on electric bills? I guess that's what Bill's trying to ask, right? Is like he used less power, but he's paying a chunk more. So
it helps in this regard. If we had passed those rules, the world would have seen dramatically increased prices, and we would have blessed it as the commission. But because the rules failed, they don't apply, they're all erased, they start from scratch all over again.
But Jim, your commission has tremendous power to use over these big corporations.
And we,
and I don't, Bill, as a customer, have a choice of the matter. I'm stuck with TEP.
Bill,
and so if there were more than TEP, if I had two other places to buy power, there'd be a little competition involved. So it's going to take the commission to rein these people in, and that's it. That's I don't have any other choice.
Bill, we did that. So let me give you the answer. And it can't be specific to your individual power bill, right? But here's the answer. By killing the Green New Deal or the energy rules. And by the way, the two that killed it, this is so perfect for Republicans. It were the Democrat votes that killed it. And Justin Olsen joined them, and he had a good reason for joining them. But they're the ones that killed the Green New Deal. It wasn't Leah and I or Justin. If they had let his amendment go through, then we would have had the controls that you're asking us to have and exercise. But without mandates, and we didn't give them mandates, the rules were about mandating. When we, the government, mandate the power companies to do something, and if it costs them $10 billion to do it, they'll do what they're told to do. But then they come back to us and say, give us these rate increases because you forced us to do this, and we got to do a cost recovery on a cost.
That's why it's so important to get the proper people that have a brain in their head on that powerful commission to keep these things under control. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you. And we got two spots up for election next year. And Nick Myers is a front runner, and we're out searching for another good Democrat. Republican. Sandra Kennedy is running again, and I believe her policy analyst is running with her. So we've got to overcome that. We can start clean election, $5 collecting this August for our two candidates, and I encourage everybody to do that. But we won that debate. The Green New Deal is dead at the commission. And we can pin the tail on the Democrats, because if they allowed our amendments to go through, we would have had a good working operation, control over costs. And Chris, if we have any more time, I'd love to talk about the COVID-19.
Well, actually, we'll have to continue this another time, my friend. So we're running out of time. So we'll catch it. We'll do it again soon. Okay. Love it. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Whew. That Jim O'Connor, he can talk. I like it.
Spicy meatball today, Chris.
Bill number two. Got the claws out. As he should. It is interesting, right? In relation to the cost of electricity, right? And how we do things around here. And you got to remember, the state of Arizona, no one should actually be... the amount of people who live in Arizona actually shouldn't actually occur. Of the 7.7 million people that live in this state, right? How many of them are holding, you know, literally between the water and air conditioning shouldn't be living? You know, it's like, you know, if you were, you know, like Pa and Ma Ingalls, right? Would you stop by, you know, the Santa Cruz River right now with, you know, a couple of spits of water and a dying chub and, you know, 110 in the summer and go, Caroline, I think we can make it here. There's a book, my friend, he passed away now, Frank Toler, used to teach geography in Colorado. He was a university professor of geography and became amazing friends with his daughter and her husband. And he introduced me to a book called Cadillac Desert. Read it. You can probably get it on Cramazon for $12, soft cover. And it just talks about how through canal systems and dams and things like this, how... But there's a map at the beginning that shows you all the dammed up rivers and stuff between California. Basically, let's say between the Pacific Ocean and the Mississippi River. And you're sitting there going, holy crap. I mean, think about it. We're all surviving on Lake Mead water. You know, we talk about the Colorado River water and things like that. we've been doing a hell of a job living on that for the last so many decades. But let's go back to Brakey, Reisner, and Ken Bennett. Interesting how this all sets up. And it'll take me to Kelly with an I, too, on her own election. If there's nothing to see, if the people calling for the audit are just basic nuts that these people are saying you're not going to find anything, isn't the ultimate justification in what you think is a great election is that they come up with nothing? Because this is the problem. The problem is, and even as you can tell, Brakey is and Reisner are not Trump fans. They're thrilled that he lost. Okay, but they also understand the danger to our country here, that there are more and more people who don't believe in the integrity of the election box. So when we talk about this fractionalization, which is the idea that there is a function in these software systems that you can now assign a 1.4% for every vote for Joe Biden, let's say, or you would put 1.4 and for Trump 0.6. It could be anybody. Okay. The idea, so when I asked Brakey when we were walking out, and I said, well, what are the things can you tell me on this fractionalization? And he thinks it was used against Bernie Sanders in the primary. So it is fascinating to see Brakey, Reisner, Ken Bennett, Randy Pullen, Mr. Slayton, I think his name is, who's the head of the Libertarian Party, and they're jumping in on this. So who's on the other side not wanting to do this, right? So I have, of course, the Democrat Party, right? Katie Hobbs with her fraudit. You know what I love about Democrats, and they just make me just want to squeal and giggle and all this other good stuff, right? Is they think somehow there was a, I feel like they feel like they want a recount of the census. The census was screwed. It was manipulated, this whole thing. And so when the Arizona State Senate for $150,000, which in the what they spend around the state of Arizona is nothing, to make sure this happens. I just and then of course you have guys like State Senator Boyer, who's squishy at best, saying that it's a joke. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to Barney B out on the west side. West side Barney, what's up?
Hey, Christopher D. Well, I wanted to say that I count Brakey and Reisner as friends. I go back about 15 years with Brakey and being involved in election integrity issues. I didn't get to listen to everything, but did he mention his white box solution to ballot counting?
Well, he did not use the phrase white box, but tell us what it is, and maybe I'll tell you if he talked about it.
It simply involved high-speed scanners set at selected precincts where the stack of ballots was put through that after the polls closed and burned onto a disk, which was given to each party.
Right.
So that's the way that you can do the virtual hand count. And he was pushing, he called the government ballot machine the black box. So he came out with this term white box theory. But Brakey is the guy who first put me on to the idea that my election in 2000 was stolen. That his first words when we were on the phone about, 14 years ago, and he realized who he was, and he says, "You're the guy that ran against Sharon Bronson. You were robbed, dude." And then he sends me some access files showing how the county computer had a bizarre series of reports. And the big thing that put them onto it was in 08, they had an election that didn't have a backup on election night, which is unheard of. It took three nights to get a backup. But in 2000, they didn't do a backup for six nights until the night before the election was certified, and mine was the only close race. And then one other anomaly that they might have missed, you know, the Ajo area has always been a Democrat stronghold, and I took that area by the biggest landslide of any Republican in history, 62-38%. So he was really on to this early on. I ran again in 08 for, you know, to take the board conservative, and I would have made sure that we implemented this system, which is just brilliant.
You know what's another thing that Brakey was telling me off air was that when they audit the batches, right?
Yes.
That they already predetermine which batches they're going to audit, right? So. Yep. So if there was some sort of thing of cheating, right, you would cheat in the ones that were not predetermined to be audited exactly. On the back end.
Exactly. The fix is in. I had an idea with regard to these high-speed scanners that if we didn't have enough to go around all the precincts, you have a lottery system on election day late in the afternoon. And, you know, if you got 10 scanners, you pick out 10 precincts at random, and it should mitigate the possibility of them, playing games with that.
And Brakey brought it up, but the dynamic that is, and I think there's certain people on the left side of the aisle here that likes this dynamic, is, Barney, you hang out with a bunch of Republicans. How many people have told you in the last few months, I'm not going to do blank because the election system's rigged?
Too many.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why I think what they're doing in Maricopa, and this is what Brakey wants, right? He's just like Ken Bennett, is there has to restore the faith in the ballot box.
Yeah, I give Brakey and Roger just tremendous credit, because they've been bumping heads with their party for the sake of integrity for like a decade and a half.
Yeah, they get crapped on by the Democrat press in this town all the time, and I got to give them credit. They keep swinging. So, Barney, I got to get to another.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
All righty, talk to you later then. Thanks.
I appreciate the call, sir. Have a good day. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to Drew Heaton, troublemaker. What's up, Heaton?
You know it. Hey, good to talk to you, Chris.
Same here.
So, John Brakey and Ken, they're just heroes in our community, and I'm glad that people are finally waking up to that fact. I just wanted to let people know that if they'd like to hear more from John and also Brandon Slayton, who's kind of at the point of the spear up in the Maricopa County audit. He's the chairman for Maricopa County, and so he's working together with John, and they're going to be at the June 15th Libertarian meeting. So I hope people will want to continue to be interested in this topic, get involved in our community, and come speak with them directly. That is June 15th, PimaLP.org. That's where they'll be.
And where's the meeting going to be at?
It's going to be held at the L offices downtown in the old Chicago Music building down there.
Look at you guys.
I know.
Look at you guys invading the circle of self-righteousness down there. I'm so proud of you.
Infiltrating, man.
Libertarians downtown. That's insane.
Yep. That'll be our third meeting down there. So we had last month's meeting there. We're meeting there this month on the 18th. We're focusing on how to support veterans here in our community. So that's this month's meeting, and we have a couple of people. Be Strong Jim is going to be presenting there, as well as Neptune Spear Farms. That's an organization that helps to employ and, get veterans back to work and working in a really healthy environment. So, yeah, it's going to be a great meeting. And there's going to be free ice cream. So how can you beat that? May 18th.
You need to put offices. You need to be putting that in your commercials, right?
Okay.
We have free ice cream.
We're working on it, actually.
It's like that great cookie monster that says, come to the dark side, we have cookies. You need come to the libertarian side. We have mint chocolate chip. Let me ask you a question before I let you go. Where are you in relation to the work that Brakey and the crew are doing with Ken Bennett up in Phoenix? What do you see as the, let's call it, incongruities of the 2020 election? What do you see?
Well, I see, like John, that there is a breakdown in the trust of the system, and whatever the outcome, I think we need to get to the bottom of it. So we need to myth bust, and I'm not going to call anything a conspiracy until we totally myth bust it.
Gotcha.
You know? So
I'm with you. All right. Well, Drew Heaton, head of the Pima Libertarian Party, thanks for the call in. Remember, June 15th, Brakey and the head of the Maricopa County Libertarian Party will be at their meeting downtown at the old Chicago store. And what time's that meeting at again?
Seven to nine.
And
is that too late for you, Chris? I know you're an early
what day. Okay, so let me ask you this question. What day of the week is that?
It's Tuesday.
Oh, God.
Our meetings are always on the second. No, sorry, the third Tuesday of every month. So,
well, maybe if I got some guest hosts to come in the next day, then I could probably make a 7 o'clock meeting. But I won't lie to you. I was probably asleep by 7:47 yesterday. So it happens.
Yeah.
But anyway,
aircraft, as Jonathan would say.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day.
Okay. You take care.
Talk to you soon. Albert, hold on. I'll take your call when I get back. 790-2040. Matt Neely, Dan Shearer tomorrow. Joe Higgins comes back to reunite the team on Thursday. And that includes Schweikert, Larson, and Anastasia, our Vail school parent. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Trevor Raven, one of my boys. Wake up. Children, listen. Yeah. Doom, 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 doom. Look at us. I'm a Christmas guy, so it doesn't matter to me. You can play this all day long.
I can't apologize for this.
Nope.
Happy birthday, Irving Berlin.
Absolutely. Amazing. One of our greatest. Irving Berlin. I was just looking up White Christmas, how many, what the sales of White Christmas by Bing Crosby has been. Tom, you're a decently educated young man. Give me a guess. How is Albert still there too? Albert, I'll get to you in a second, I promise.
He is still here. Oh, man. All right. So, all right. I'm going to guess it sold over 1 billion copies. One billion with a B.
That's a big one. That's a little too big. 50 million. So, still pretty damn good.
Not going to count all the streams. Everybody streams these days.
Thank you.
These right. Kids.
Let's get to Albert. Albert, thank you for patiently waiting. Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning. Great program.
Thank you, sir.
There's something that I think is kind of missing on the news media, and that's what's going on in Cali, Colombia. And I think there's many people that don't know about this. But they're going through something. I think the reason it's not on the media, because it's paralleling what's going on in this country. Now, my wife is from Cali, Colombia. And as a matter of fact, she worked at University Park Marriott. She's talked to you and Ed.
Oh, okay. Sure,
yeah,
sure, sure.
She worked there for over 20 years until this COVID thing came up.
But I know exactly who she is. I love her.
Yeah, she has a face you won't forget.
That's true.
And in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. Unlike mine, when you look at me and go, ugh. You know, that's cool.
But at any rate, yeah, and there, she's on the phone almost most of the day looking at what's happening. Of course, she has relatives and friends down there. And it's they're burning things. One, you know, the government doesn't trust the police. The police don't trust the guerrillas. And they're burning things, and they're not using rubber bullets either, by the way.
So what's the relationship to what we've been talking to and on the show?
There isn't any.
Oh.
I told them.
Okay. Just
yeah, I didn't know if I should bring it up. But
no, it's okay.
Yeah, the gentleman just brought up. I'm just saying the reason I think that this is not being brought out in our media, I haven't really seen anything about it, is that it's parallels what we're going through. My wife calls it communism, and or the beginnings of it. And in fact, France had a rally over there, the Colombians over there, and they've had them in different nations.
It's interesting that you say that. So I just put Cali, Colombia in my Google search. I know I only have a minute time. And so what I saw was, you know, it's out there, but you know, it's funny. It's not, I see one Washington Post, but everything else is like international, right? So I see a Reuters, a Guardian, an Al Jazeera is covering it.
Isn't
right?
That something?
The Guardian again, UN News, believe it or not, but I do not see NBC or CBS on there kind of thing.
Kind of strange, isn't it? Thank you very much. Don't go anywhere. Great program.
Thanks. Say hi to your beautiful wife for me.
Will do. Bye.
Later, buddy. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Matt Neely and Dan Shearer, Green Valley News.